Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Okay, be honest with me. How many people here have ever been depressed or discouraged any time in their life, especially as a Christian? Okay. Well, the good thing about that is our Lord knows what we went through. He's identified with us. He's experiencing everything we could go through. One of the things that we forget when we go through times of trials is we look at ourselves and we think, no one else knows what I'm going through. But the Bible says, like in James and also in the book of Acts, it says that everyone else, like other men and women, they're people of like passions as we are. We don't struggle on our own. It says, 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. When you go through something, you may feel like you're all alone, but there are other believers around the world that have experienced the same thing. But also, your Savior has gone through everything you could ever think of to identify with you. I'm going to end on a couple of verses, but I'm going to introduce this first, but just verses about going to the cross. Kind of covered a little bit of it earlier, but focusing on something different here. In Mark 14, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, and I will go before you into Galilee. So he's telling them what's going to come up that night. While they're on their way to Gethsemane, they haven't got there yet. On the way there, he's talking about different things. And Luke kind of, he covers this part. He's the only one that talks about this. But the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And in the King James, every time it says ye, you, your, it's plural. Jesus is saying, you know what? Tonight, all 12 of you, Satan desires to have you. He desires to sift you all tonight. But I have prayed for thee. I prayed for you, Peter. And that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And that's the one thing we love about Peter. We love his boldness, but a lot of times his mouth gets him into trouble. He's like, Lord, like I'll go with you. I'll die with you. All these things. And back to Mark again, it says, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. It's like all of them. It wasn't just Peter, but it's like, no, Lord. Oh, you say I'm going to die. No, I would never do that. I'll stick with you. I'll be faithful. But we saw from Gethsemane, they were getting kind of sleepy. But a few verses later, it says, and they all forsook him and fled. And it's kind of interesting. You look at the time where, I mean, it was prophesied. We know that would happen. And Jesus knew it would happen, but it doesn't make it any easier. Our Savior going through what he went through alone. And a bit later in the chapter, it goes back to Peter again when Jesus is in, I can't remember which person he was with, Herod or Pilate, but he was in with one of the trials there and he's behind closed doors and Peter's out there warming himself by the fire. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. What are you talking about? I don't know this person. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by again said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. He says, yeah, the way you're talking, you might say you're not a Galilean, but I could tell the way you're talking, you're one of his crowd. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And I find this kind of tragic in Luke's account, because he gives a little bit more detail. And the Lord turned and he looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, Peter thinks he's okay. You know, I'll stay by myself and, you know, I can keep my distance. I won't be affected by what's going on this night. And then just looks over and the Lord's looking at him. And all that Jesus said came back to his mind. And he went out and wept bitterly. All the events that led to the cross, all the trials that night. And then Jesus crucified the next morning. And then this is some of what was said when he's hanging on the cross. "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost." So even on the cross, God the Father turned his back on him while he bore our sins. And just thinking of all the different things that Christ went through that night. And but then you go back to Hebrews, and it says this, which is really neat. Hebrews chapter 4. "We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And it's interesting, like earlier this morning I talked about Hebrews 12, where it talks about how you have not yet resisted unto blood. He resisted, fought against sin so much that, you know, he sweat drops of blood. And as faithful as the bravest Christian is, we're never that faithful. We're never that solid. But he knows everything we went through, and he's there for us. And at the end of the verse where it says, "We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That phrase, grace to help, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, and the same with the word succor in 2 verse 18, where it says, "He's tempted in all points as we are, yet he could succor them that need help." That word succor and grace to help, it's a word in Greek meaning run to the cry. If you are facing sin, if you're facing depression, if you're being overwhelmed by things in your life, the Bible says all you got to do is cry out to him and he's there. He's there to help you. He's there to strengthen you. Romans 5:8, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I don't remember exactly the wording of the next verse, but basically when we were at our worst, he did his best. And that's my way of explaining it. But take a second look at Calvary. "When I went through times of loneliness, I thought, Lord, where were you? Don't you know, Lord? Can't you see all this pain that I'm going through? Then in the midst of my devotions, I was thunderstruck one day when I realized in my Savior's darkest hours, all his friends had turned away. When I struggled through depression, I cried, Lord, where were you? Can't you take these doubts and fears away? Help me somehow make it through. But I knelt in sweet submission, surrendered all, and my heart was still, as I remember my blessed Savior praying, not mine, but your will. When my heart ached in bitter anguish, grief struck and broken too, I cried through tears of agony, oh my Lord, where were you? I can't fight this battle anymore. I can't overcome this gloom. Then in my self-pity, I recalled that Jesus wept at Lazarus's tomb. When I think that I'm forsaken, bitter, anguished, and alone, I remember that my Savior made all my pain his own. He tasted death. He suffered much. He was tempted, tried, beset. And in all his trials and afflictions, Jesus loved me yet. A man of sorrows, he knew our grief. He bore our sin and shame. He was forsaken by God above that we may never be again. He was wounded for our transgressions, as the Bible has revealed. But most of all, Jesus shed his blood, and by his stripes we are healed. So when you're feeling lonely, depressed, and are haunted by your grief, here's a solution that, through eyes of faith, will surely bring relief. When you're wondering if the Lord cares, and if he's watching from above, take a second look at Calvary, and there behold God's wondrous love. Amen.